Episode 94. Hello, everybody. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from the Yellow Studio in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, with another episode of Bula Network. The website, bulanetwork.com. Yeah, I'm unique like that. Hey, on Monday, I released a video. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek, a little bit of a snipe job. It really, the point was kind of the J. Paul Getty school of getting rich. Well, there are lots and lots of really, really, really rich people, and they have their own, they do have their own school of getting rich, you know. Well, J. Paul Getty's was oil. Basically, get millions and millions of barrels of oil every day. And you too can be that wealthy. For Bill Gates, well, you know, develop, market, sell the operating system for PCs and then spin off from there, and you too can be wealthy. For Steve Jobs, it was, you know, develop a different operating system and be a contrarian to the PC, but man, have the slickest, killer, sexiest design on the planet, which is some of the coolest stuff out there, and some of the coolest interfaces as well. So, you know, to each his own. Everybody kind of has their own thing, but increasingly people just still continue to swoon over the prospect of a secret, the prospect of something out there that is only available to a select few, and that if only. Well, I have likened it in the past to, you've seen the movie The Matrix. If you haven't, watch it. Go rent it. And in The Matrix, he's looking for the key maker because there's just, you know, there's all these doors, and in order to really kind of find out what's going on and to get to where you want to go, well, you've got to unlock these doors, and the only way to unlock these doors is I've got to have a key. And so there is the key maker, and enter a room, and there's this old man, tons and tons of keys, and we believe there is a key maker, and we believe that there is a key, and we believe that there is a singular key that will unlock the door that will give us the life of our dreams. I don't deny that it's a romantic thought, but come on, I live in Dallas, Texas, and in Dallas, Texas, umpteen years ago when I was in the first grade, I didn't live here then, but President Kennedy was assassinated. And from then until now, there are people who believe there was and there is still a conspiracy. And they can prove it. I mean, they point out one little piece of information followed by another piece and another piece and another piece, and they can make some compelling arguments. Was there a conspiracy? Now, I personally have a difficult time with that because, well, people can't keep their mouth shut. I mean, people can't keep secrets, not for very long. My lands, we've already found out who Deep Throat was and the Watergate conspiracy, and that certainly was a conspiracy that was not anywhere nearly as old as the assassination of a president. But these things happen. We look for all the mysterious and the strange things that we cannot explain, and there is something rather magnetic about all of that. We're attracted to those kinds of things. And we look at other people who have achieved things that we have not, perhaps yet achieve things that we may never achieve. And we think there's got to be something that I don't know. Now, you are listening to the voice of a person who is very much bent. I'm not bent toward paranoia, and I'm not bent to thinking there's a conspiracy, but I am a person very given to deconstruct things and to figure things out. I'm a person who's rather frustrated. If I can't quite make sense of something, if I can't quite figure something out, that's just part of the fabric of who I am. And so even with that, I've got to tell you, there may be a secret that you don't know. There may be some formula that you don't understand, but it's only a secret, and it's only this unknown formula because you've not learned it. It's not because anybody's keeping it from you. It's not because there is someone who is this, you know, who's this harbinger of very protected information that only a select few can gain access to. I have in my library a number of biographies of incredibly successful people. And you can define success however you choose. You can define it by being very accomplished at something. You can find it by people who are very skilled, perhaps an athlete. You can define it in financial terms. You can define it in terms of being prolific or proficient at something. And I will tell you, boy, they did it. They did it in all kinds of ways. If there is a secret, you would think that everybody would be using the secret. And it would be singular, and it would be something that would be very clearly discernible among all these people, and it simply is not there. I said in the video, and I believe it to be true, there are common denominators. And what today's show is about business principles and the principles of building business. Increasingly, and I suspect it is because of, well, it's because of the demise of so many things since the year 2007 and the changes that have taken place in the world and the changes that I'm convinced are going to continue to take place. And the scramble for income, the scramble for revenue, the scramble to either build a business, and in more cases than not, I'm using that in the loosest of terms. I'm not really using it in the way that I think of it, of building a business. It's generating some income. And there is a difference in generating income and building a business, and there doesn't happen to be anything wrong, in my opinion, with generating income. You got to do what you got to do. A person could embark on any number of things by themselves, or they could go get a job and just bring in income, cash flow. Absolutely 100% fully behind the whole notion of cash flow. You got to have it. But it's not synonymous with building a business. If a person who is laid off of their job, they deliver pizzas in the evening, they go get a job at some big box home improvement retailer during the day, they're generating cash flow. They're not building a business. But they're generating cash flow, and it's an honorable thing, and it's an admirable thing, and it's a worthwhile thing. But then if they have any spare moments, and in their spare moments, they have embarked on some craft, let's say woodworking, something that they are very accomplished at, skillful at, and they begin to make custom-made dining room tables. That could be a business, but it could also be a hobby. Strictly is going to be up to them what it's going to be. the point is there are principles of building a business, and there are approaches that are taken, mental approaches as well as physical approaches that are taken to building a business. And not everybody wants to do that. If there is a secret, if there is a formula, the secret is simply some of the things that are vital to building a good business. And that's what today's show is about. And we may have to break this up. I don't want to keep you too terribly long, but there are some components of just good business. And I'm going to begin a little bit out of order because I find this increasingly a topic of my conversations with people. And it is a word that I use with great regularity, and I do not mean it in the sense of green, but the word is sustainability. Perhaps a better word is predictability. If you are going to have a successful business, there has got to be some degree of predictability when it comes to revenues, profits, cost containment, all of those financial measurements in business. Now, when I say that, it doesn't mean that every prediction is going to come true. For instance, there are many businesses who may have set sail in the month of June to have accomplished some percentage of increase. Some perhaps even may have projected some percentage of decrease. But they went into the month of June with some expectation, some reasonable expectation. That expectation was born of, hopefully, it was born of, you know, of some sort of analysis. It wasn't just some seat of the pants, pull a number out of thin air. Now, for a business that has history, for a business that has some, you know, we can look back and we have a track record, perhaps they're prediction was based on seasonality. Perhaps their prediction was based on the fact that they have record of what they did in June of last year and June the year before and June the year before and June the year before. And given all the different variables that have now entered the equation, they have some reasonable expectation that in June of 2011, their revenues will be this. And correspondingly, profits and costs and so forth will be this as well. But for a new enterprise, that this may be the first June that they've experienced, well, okay, you don't have that, but there is still some predictability. There is still some, we'll call it a goal. We'll call it this thing that you're going to chase, and you have some reasonable degree of reliable data, even if it's very gut-based. You've got strong convictions and beliefs that you can do this or that. And so you set sail for some number. That's what businesses do. The hobbyist, well, the hobbyist is into building the table. Man, look at that table. Isn't that a great table? Isn't that a nice table? I think I may can sell that table. That's a hobbyist. The business person can perfectly enjoy building the table. But unlike the hobbyist, the business starts out the month of June with the expectation of selling two tables this month. I will build two tables and I will sell two more tables. That's the goal, that's the stated objective, and everything works toward that. And there are all these other elements of business that come into play. There is the marketing. If I'm going to sell one table, much less two, well, I've got to let the world know. I've got two tables to sell. I may have to put photographs up. I may have taken some video of the process of my having built this table. The conclusion of which shows the completed, finished table. Perhaps with a buy button. There are all of these different components that happen, but it really all starts with the expectation. And I guess that's probably the best word that I can think of. The expectation to generate revenue. Now, you can say, well, my business, I'm in it for something other than money. Listen, that's perfectly okay. But you don't have a business unless there's revenue. You don't have a business unless somebody's buying something. You don't have a business unless you have customers that you're serving. You don't have a business unless there's some value that you're providing. If there is a secret, perhaps that's it. If there is a formula that people claim they don't know and they would like to know, perhaps that's it. That you should set sail with some expectation. Ancient explorers literally did that. And we have kind of hinged on that mental image of people setting sail, and you've heard various quotes and various wise people who've stated things such as, if you don't have any destination, then any wind will take you where you want to go. You know, you must have some destination. You must have some goal. You must have some object. You must have some place that you are guided toward, that you're aiming at, some target. And all of those things are true. They may sound very trite, but they are very true. And so as we wind down the month of June, and as we, Lord willing, will embark on a new month, July, what are your expectations? Where do you hope your business will be? Don't have a business? Well, that's fine. You can start your business, but you must understand the defining difference between a business and a hobby does not necessarily have to do with the act itself. If I'm going to custom make wood dining room tables, and that's what I enjoy doing, I can do that as a hobby, but I can also do that as a business. Does the entrance of money and the expectation of some regular commerce focused around the art of building these tables, does that affect me in any way and my passion, my interest, my love, my fun of building these tables? I guess it could if I'm having to build these custom tables specifically for someone and they want it done a certain way and I don't particularly like it that way. I guess then you could say yes, but overall, generally speaking, the answer I would give is no. No. There is no reason that most hobbies, not all, but most hobbies can't be income producing. Now, some, granted, are going to have a bigger financial wow factor than others. Some are going to have a more lucrative prospect, perhaps, than others. But I've not seen too many, and you probably haven't either. I mean, there's some people doing some pretty crazy, kind of out there things, and they're doing it and being paid to do it. They love to do it. They're not doing it because they're getting rich off of it. They just happen to be, well, in some cases, the goal is pretty much to just kind of support the hobby. You know, can I make this hobby kind of be self-sustaining? I run into lots and lots of people, and that's their goal. That's their objective. They want to invest in this or invest in that has to do with their hobby. And if they can craft something, make something, sell something that can kind of fuel the hobby, that is also part of the hobby, well, all the better. And why not? But now when we're talking about creating a business, when we're talking about business building, and that's what we're talking about, building a business. And we can build a business from the ground up, or we can build a business that's already built, but maybe needs to be rebuilt. Maybe there are parts of it that need to be remodeled. Maybe there are parts of it that they weren't built so well. And now we need to go back and we need to refine them. We may have some unfinished rooms in our business. We may have an unfinished basement. Hopefully, we've done a good job with the foundation, though. Hopefully, we've done a pretty good job with the floor plan and the foundation because, well, those can be very difficult to change. Electricity, plumbing, all of those other vital components of the structure. Yeah, okay, some are more costly than others. Some take a little bit more time and effort than others. If you have a cement slab and your plumbing isn't exactly where you want it, can you change that? Sure. It's not going to be cheap, and it's not going to be easy, but it's doable. So hopefully, if you've built your business, the foundation, the basic layout is established and is good. And you've got some degree of predictable revenue. You've got some degree of predictable cost. Now, they may be out of kilter, but it's not like, okay, in June, we got blindsided by this expense. We had no idea this was coming. If that's you, well, you're in deep trouble because that's just not how you operate a business. You operate a business by pre-planning. You operate a business, again, I mean, here's the word. This is the word for the show, folks. Expectation. What is the expectation? And by expectation, I don't mean dream. I don't mean wild fantasy. I mean, what do you genuinely, realistically, honestly expect? You should be able to go into a month with a degree of expectation on this is what my expenses are going to be. I know, for instance, if you have an online business, you should be able to know, well, I'm going to know that, you know, my hosting plans, this is what they're going to cost. I've got some other things, perhaps some webinar service. I know what my phone service is going to be. I know what my high-speed internet connection is going to cost me. I know what my cell service is going to cost me. I know what my autoresponder, my email provider is going to cost me. You've got these certain costs that happen, and these happen month in, month out. Many of them, without regard to how much revenue, how many sales you make. So you've got these costs, and you know what these costs are, and you've got to know what these costs are. And yes, you've got to do a good job of watching these, paying close attention to these. Now, I'm a bottom line guy. I've got many, many friends that I've known throughout the years in the business world, and I've got many friends who are not as bottom line driven as I am. I'm a bottom line driven guy by nature. That philosophically, there's my bias. I've got some buddies who are very top line driven. And here's the difference. They believe, and they honestly believe, and I'm going to tell you, I'd be as hard-pressed to persuade them differently than they would be to persuade me differently. If they can generate enough sales, who cares what the costs are? And it's pretty much how they operate. And I'm not going to throw rocks at, I know some guys that are pretty good at that. I mean, they are pretty good at managing those sales. Now, some of them can be really hard charging. And, well, dare I say it, we might even ascribe the term aggressive to these guys. But they're very good at it, okay? Very good at it. They don't concern themselves too much with cost. You know, their attitude is pretty much, it's just, you know, that's the price you pay to play the game. So we just want to drive sales. Now, in my estimation, most of the guys that I know that are given to that and are good at it, it's because that's their strength. And so I don't have any real problem with a guy doing what he's best at. I can tell you from 35 plus years in business, if those guys that I know that are very successful at that, they also have somebody in the organization who's really watching the cost. And if they don't, they can get in trouble in a hurry. So if they've got a person that's really watching it, go for it. You know, everybody needs a rainmaker. Everybody needs somebody who can go generate sales. Everybody needs that spark plug that can make sales happen. Now, I'm a bit more balanced. I'm all for marketing and I'm all for sales, and it's where my roots are. But just sales don't make problems go away. I mean, if we use this ship analogy, the ship can have some holes in it and be taken on water, and you can say, well, you know, we just need to go faster. Well, you know, that doesn't plug up the holes. You know, I mean, you're still just leaking like a sieve, and you've got to shore things up. And so many solopreneurs, in my opinion, so many solopreneurs that I encounter really, well, too many of them, quite frankly, aren't building business. They're chasing cash. They're chasing revenues. And I understand it because, well, we got to do what we got to do. But in the process of doing what we got to do, I think we also have to make sure that while we're doing what we got to do, let's spend some time building this thing. Let's spend some time fixing what ails us. Let's try to get ourselves, if we aren't yet in a position where we have any predictable expectation of what the month is going to bring for us, why don't we work toward that? I haven't met every solopreneur, obviously, but I have yet to meet a solopreneur who didn't want to accomplish that. I've not yet met the small business person. I've not yet met any business person who didn't want to be able to more accurately predict the coming results for the coming month, the coming quarter. And it's just like anything else. The further out you look, the tougher it is to predict, no question. So I'm not sitting here telling you that I've got a crystal ball, but I am telling you that it's high time that we start thinking like business people, that we start looking at our enterprises as though we're building a business, if indeed that's what we're doing. Now, if it's just a hobby and we're cool with that, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm finding people that are having these little moonlighting projects, these little sidelight projects, and that's fine. I happen to think, make those business. That really, in more cases than not, that's the goal. That's the objective. The objective is to bring income into the home, to bring in revenue, to generate income. Well, then approach it like a business. If you want a secret, there it is. Think like a business, run it like a business, own it like a business, have some expectations for yourself and for it like a business. And guess what? Over time, you can make it into a business. But until you start with that level of seriousness, it's not going to happen. So if you're wasting your time looking for that hidden ingredient, that one thing that you know somebody else knows because you don't know, I'm going to tell you, well, there's probably two of them, truth be told. There is this expectation of a result. I'm taking a specific aim. I'm setting out to accomplish something specific, something targeted. And secondly, I'm going to work my tail off to hit that target. So there's two secrets for you. And hate to tell you, but, well, those are the two secrets. It's all building a business. It's all in, you know, and us just getting our head wrapped around the fact that we call it work for a reason. And that doesn't mean that it's mentally laborious in that we hate it. We dread it. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. I'm not one who really shies away from the whole notion of hard work. I don't think there's anything wrong with hard work. Now, I'll give you a third truth, and that is, for most people, it takes longer than they think. It's not true for everybody because not everybody has the same degree of optimism. Some people are very realistic. Other people are, well, they're quite pessimistic. But I would say on average, most people tend to overshoot. Most people tend to look at whatever they're going to embark on and, well, they see it as just being wildly popular, wildly successful. And more often than not, sadly, it doesn't pan out that way. And instead of just keep on keeping on, they get discouraged because, well, they don't come out of the chute just guns a-blazing. Listen, that's okay. There aren't many stories of business success where people just came out of the chute and just skyrocketed to fame. It's not a real common story. And you should not be dissuaded, you should not be discouraged in the least because you're suffering some setbacks, because things aren't just, they're not just going swimmingly for you right out of the gate. That's okay. Stick with it. There is something to putting in the time. You know, Sunday, this young man from Ireland, I'm not a golfer, but you couldn't help but watch. It was a pretty compelling story. You know, I mean, how old is this young man? I mean, was he 23? Is he that young? I mean, he's pretty young. You know, and they talked about him playing in the Masters, and, you know, he kind of played really well. And then I guess, based on what they said, I don't follow golf, but I guess his wheels kind of came off during the Masters. And they talked about how resilient he was and how, you know, man, he had learned a thing or two from the Masters to this tournament, the U.S. Open. And, I mean, he just won it running away. I don't know. The margin of victory was 8 strokes, 9 strokes. I mean, there was nobody even close. How did he do that? Well, I'm going to tell you the component and the other big thing to learn about building business. Make sure you're learning all along the way. Make sure that you're taking every advantage of those setbacks, of those failures. Look at those things. Don't dwell on them, but find out, what can I learn from this? What can I do differently? What can I do better next time? And let those things build your confidence. I mean, think about the young man from Ireland. Who'd have thunk it, right? Well, he did. And there's the other, I think, another important thing, and that is you have got to be able to see it. You've got to be able to see it before any of the rest of us see it. If you can't see your own success first, it'll never happen. So much happens in our head first. So good luck with it. I'm available to help you. I can be of any service. Randy Cantrell, BulaNetwork.com. This is the Yellow Studio, and I'm coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Till next time, see you.